It brings salvation to those who believe. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me I'm...
Well, we've got a sermon review straight ahead here in the second hour of Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 2nd of July. Dr. Robert Schuller Sr. preached a sermon yesterday during the Hour of Powers broadcast. The sermon was titled, I Am the American Flag. Of course, there were a lot of churches that were kind of blowing out regular programming for Independence Day, for the 4th of July. They did away with the banners and brought out the stars and stripes. They did away with the hymns and brought out the patriotic music. Imagine they might have had a color guard or a special choir singing those patriotic songs. Well, at the Crystal Cathedral, it was no exception. They were raring to go for the 4th of July. And as far as I can tell from this sermon, they even let the flag preach. A sermon ostensibly written by the American flag. I'm still wondering what to do with this, but we're going to review the sermon anyway. Maybe by the end of this hour-long sermon review, I will have figured out how to categorize this. Every time we review a sermon, we use the same simple diagnostic. Oh, before I go on to that, by the way, we did a show last night with Mike Horton and Chris Roseborough on the nationally syndicated edition of Issues, Etc. on Christless Christianity. You'll hear it Friday on the program. And if you stick with us during the sermon review, listen carefully, I think you'll get a really clear idea of what preaching sounds like or can sound like in churches that practice Christless Christianity. The sermon diagnostic is simple. It has three parts. The first one is the simplest of all. Listen to see how often Jesus is mentioned in the sermon. Now, you can talk about Christ. You can talk about the Son of God. You could talk about our Savior. But you're listening for specific references to Jesus, second person of the Trinity, our incarnate Savior. So listen for how often Jesus is mentioned and keep a simple running tally of how often the preacher mentions Jesus. Now, if Jesus is not mentioned in the sermon, you can be completely sure that the sermon wasn't about Jesus. It was about something or someone else. Now, this sermon we're going to review actually mentions Jesus once, but you're going to have to listen carefully because it's really quick. If Jesus is mentioned, then ask yourself this question. Is he the subject of the verbs? This is simple grammar. Is the preacher talking about what Jesus has done, or is he simply talking about, say, for instance, what I have done for Jesus? Is Jesus the one driving the verbs, doing the action, doing the doing? There's a world of difference between the two sentences. I walked the dog. I'm the subject of the verbs. And the dog walked me. The dog is the subject of the verbs. By the way, when Wilkin walks the dog walks him. She's pretty strong for her size. So if Jesus is mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? And if he is, then go on to part three of the diagnostic, which is, if Jesus is mentioned and he's the subject of the verbs, then what are those verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Are those verbs the kind of verbs that Scripture uses of Jesus? The one who becomes our substitute, who bears our sins, who submits obediently to the punishment of the cross for us and for our salvation, who suffers and dies and rises again? Or are they some other verbs about Jesus, the Jesus who helps, inspires, motivates? That's the three-part diagnostic. When you're done, you can step back and you can ask this question. What did the preacher tell me my problem is? This is kind of the law gospel question. What did the preacher tell me my problem is, and what solution did he give me for that problem? So as we listen to this sermon, I Am the Flag, let's use that three-part diagnostic. Robert Schuller is an accomplished orator and speaker, and a very popular and famous preacher. His church claims to be the voice of positive Christianity in the world today. And since yesterday was so close to the 4th of July, they decided to do a patriotic service. Maybe you sat through one as well. By the way, if you want to give us a call during the sermon review, another question I have for you is, what did you hear preached yesterday as many churches were celebrating Independence Day. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, why this sermon diagnostic? Very briefly, if preaching is biblical, it ought to testify of Jesus, because Jesus says the scriptures testify of him in John chapter 5, 39. If preaching is led by the Spirit of God, it ought to preach of Christ and him crucified, because Jesus again says that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will testify about him, Jesus. If it is in the following the example of the best of biblical preachers, can you think of anyone greater? Jesus says there is no one greater than John the Baptist. When John the Baptist preached, he didn't preach himself, but the one who is coming after him, and he even said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is preaching Christ and him crucified. Or if you don't want to go to John the Baptist, you want to go to the epistles. How many times does St. Paul say, we preach not ourselves, but Christ crucified? Or, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Or, far be it from me to boast in anything but Christ and his cross. Or, the writer to the Hebrews who says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Those are good reasons why we ought to, at the very least, expect to hear at the center, the heart and center of every sermon, every Sunday, the message of Christ and him crucified. Let's see if Robert Schuller does that in his sermon from yesterday's Hour of Power, I Am the American Flag.
The world has changed dramatically in the past 28 years. 28 years ago, today, I delivered a message entitled, I Am the American Flag. Try to think what history was swirling at that time. The American flag makes a statement. Listen to it. I am the American flag. I will speak from the wisdom of a long life. I first felt the vigor of wind in my multicolored face when I unfurled my 13 stars over 200 years ago. I look down and see horses with their clattering hoofs pulling rattling carriages over cobblestone streets. And since then, I've looked up to see silver jets streak across stunning skies of blue. I have known over 40 presidents. I have unfurled my pride on sailing ships, steamers, mighty vessels of armed power to bring peace, freedom to oppressed people of the world. I've traveled far, farther than any other flag in history, across continents, oceans, deserts, and even on the chilly, snow-white tip of a mighty Saturn with its blazing engine, until I was planted through the silent seas of space and stand on the gray surface of the shining moon. I have lived long. I have seen much. I have heard a lot. Now, listen to me. I have earned the right to be heard.
He has little drum rolls in here. I think what they're doing at each one of the drum rolls is bringing out another flag. By the end of the sermon, he's kind of surrounded by American flags. And the visual here is I don't know. I don't think not having the visual detracts too much from it, but a lot of time is spent with the camera, you guessed it, on the flag. So, as far as I can tell, and I am trying, this is not tongue-in-cheek, as far as I can tell, Robert Schuller is letting the flag preach yesterday. I mean, he's speaking for the flag, but he's letting the flag speak. I have lived long, I've traveled far, I've seen much, I've heard a lot. Now listen to me, I have earned the right to be heard. which is not the last time we're going to hear a statement like that in this sermon. And one wonders here, now that the flag has introduced itself to us, what does the flag have to say to us? Now, remember, this isn't a patriotic rally in the public square. This isn't from the bandstand of your town square or from the steps of your local state house. There's all sorts of speeches. This speech could well be given at one of the patriotic rallies that will be held all through this week around the country to celebrate the nation's independence. This is in a Christian pulpit on a Sunday morning from a church that claims to be the voice of positive Christianity for the world. So, what do you expect? Now, I asked the question before, and I want you to take this seriously. What did you hear on Sunday morning yesterday when your pastor got into the pulpit? There might have been flags. There might have been patriotic music. There might have been the fife and the drum. There will be at Schuller's Church. There might have been a recognition of fallen soldiers and those who have given their life on the battlefield so that we might live free. What did you hear your pastor preach? Did your pastor, I don't think your pastor gave Jesus the week off to let the flag preach, but what did you hear on that Sunday closest to Independence Day? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're listening to and reviewing a sermon by Dr. Robert Schuller Sr., preached yesterday during the Hour of Power, titled, I Am the American Flag.
I was in the hand of my first president in the blood and snow of Valley Forge. I was there when this little nation was born, small, with a wilderness at her back, seas at her side, and not a single friendly neighbor to whom she could, as a struggling infant, call for help in distress. She was alone in the wilderness. I saw that. I saw that child survive and grow strong to belch smoke from steel furnaces and to break virgin prairie until wastelands were blanketed by fields of ripening grain. I flew on to ride from steel girders topping out skyscrapers in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. I have paid a price to earn the right to speak. The price paid for my freedom of speech is a price most people are forgetting all the time. Most forget, but I do not. Never could I. I always still see in my memory those bright, beautiful young men who died for me at Porkchop Hill. You never heard of it? You should. Verdun? What was that, you say? Normandy? Iwo Jima? Pearl Harbor? The Coral Sea? Okinawa? Corregidor? And the Asian jungles half a world away where some bones have not yet been found, but they are there. And when they died for me, I wrapped them in my love and draped my honor over their caskets. In tropics, in deserts, and in seas.
Listening to this sermon by Dr. Robert Schuller yesterday during the Hour of Power titled, I Am the American Flag. Now, granted, this is an extreme example. Usually on the 4th of July, we'll review a D. James Kennedy sermon because he likes to, on the 4th of July or the Sunday nearest it, he likes to review American history. He likes to talk about America as a Christian nation, its founders as fine Christian men. Now, Robert Schuller is kind of cutting to the chase here. He's just letting the flag speak. And he says the flag has earned the right to speak because people have died for the flag. And when they died, he says, speaking for the flag, I wrap them in my love and drape my honor over their caskets. And he has more to say, but he's letting the flag preach on the 4th of July or the Sunday nearest it. When you were at a service yesterday on Sunday morning, was it a patriotic service? If it was, what did your preacher preach? When you walked out, what would you say the theme of that service was? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones and talk with a few listeners, beginning with Al, who calls from his car. Hi, Al. Al, welcome. All right, then let's talk with Dale, who's on the line from St. Louis. Hi, Dale.
Hi. How are you?
I'm very good.
Yesterday, when I was in church, the sermon and the message was fine, but the patriotic music in place of the hymns I did not like. I mean, I didn't find singing "My Country 'Tis of Thee" while we're taking communion, that just kind of bothered me a little.
Hmm. So the sermon, what was the sermon? Do you remember what the sermon was about, Dale?
Well, I'm sorry to say I don't, but it was not a patriotic sermon. It was a good Bible-based sermon.
Did you ask your pastor why he would sing "My Country 'Tis of Thee" during the distribution of the Lord's Supper?
No, I didn't. Hmm. No, I didn't.
So you might ask him, Dale. Thank you very much. I think that's kind of typical, don't you think, in many churches? They might not have had a full-blown patriotic service, like turning it into a patriotic rally with the bunting and the color guard and things like that. But they might have sung those patriotic hymns in the place of hymns that otherwise would have gone, say, alongside the Lord's Supper.
I told you this story many times. I went to one of a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation during 4th of July, and at one point, still part of the divine service, they asked everybody who ever served in the Navy to stand up, and then they played the Navy anthem, tears rolling down people's faces. Then they asked anybody who served in the Marines to stand up, and they did it. And it was like the emotional apex of the entire worship service that day.
So they recognized in the middle of the service all of the various people who'd served in the various branches and played the theme hymns of those various branches of the military.
Yes.
Yes. So what was the theme of that particular service?
Patriotism?
Mm-hmm.
American civil religion, and maybe you might want to define that for our listeners.
Well, so with I'm trying to think of how to answer this without just sounding completely cynical, or how to ask it. When you left that service to pick up on the Hebrews passage, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus," where were your eyes fixed?
The vets.
All right.
You know, after 9/11, you predicted that churches who don't have a theology of the cross, an adequate view of sin, suffering, in the normal Christian life, you predicted that, and that these churches would be going to patriotism. What do you remember why you said that?
Oh yeah, I know exactly why I said it. I remember 9/11 was a Tuesday morning. Am I right? So Tuesday morning we came in, and one of the questions, of course, that was pressing along with all of the other very serious news was, you know, what do you expect your church to say about this come Sunday? And I did predict, and rarely this does happen, I was proven 100% correct, that churches that had abandoned a biblical view and a message that centers upon the suffering and death of Jesus Christ for us sinners would have nothing to say on that Sunday. They had no theology to encompass this. Their theology either didn't go deep enough, or it didn't have a place for this kind of event to occur in a nation that was supposed to be a Christian nation under God's providence and blessing. So I predicted that they would go patriotic, that they would pull out the bunting and the flags, and they did. It was like having the 4th of July on September the 20-somethingth. I don't know what it was. You know what? You know what the Sunday after the 9/11 was? You know what the church was celebrating that Sunday, Jeff? Holy Cross Day. Many churches just blew out the cross and put up the flag. Why? Because the cross wasn't central to what they were teaching or preaching in the first place. And September 11th just gave them an excuse to talk about what they really wanted to talk about. The only good news they could deliver to people in the midst of that national tragedy was, we're all still Americans, and at least for free, and we're going to fight the terrorists. And that really showed it really showed what most churches believed the good news is that Sunday after 9/11. As does the 4th of July every year in many churches. Catherine is calling from Fenton. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. The church that I was at yesterday morning basically had, I like to tease the pastor, but it had the sermon was about the same thing that it was about last week and the week before and the week before that and the week before that, which, of course, was Christ crucified, risen, ascended to save us from sin, death, and the devil as a free gift of God.
Was there any other kind of acknowledgement in the service?
Oh, yeah, he acknowledged that we're going to be celebrating, 4th of July, but most of the references to the 4th of July, of course, came during the prayers where we prayed for the nation and we prayed for the leaders, we prayed for the soldiers, and the only patriotic music basically was I played, a couple of patriotic things during the offertory, but just kind of quietly, and then we sang God Bless Our Native Land at the end, at the very end. But otherwise, it was a very Christ-centered service.
Catherine, good to hear it. Thank you very much. Well, not in Garden Grove, not at the Crystal Cathedral. Jesus, so far in this sermon, not really important. Who was it? Was it one of our regular guests, one of the Higher Things boys, who said, If the pastor can preach a sermon, and if you take Jesus out of it, it still makes perfect sense, then something is seriously wrong. It wasn't a Christian sermon. If you can preach a whole sermon, and where the pastor does mention Jesus, if you take him out and it still makes perfect sense as a sermon, then it wasn't Christian preaching, which is kind of the point of the first part of our sermon diagnostic here on Issues, etc. We'll hear more of this sermon, review more of it, and hear from you as well. Yesterday, many churches were celebrating the 4th of July in one form or another. What did you hear preached? What was the theme of the service? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. After another half hour of sermon review, we're going to do some audio open lines in the last hour of the program, a CNN story on a religion that's reviving itself in Russia, the former Soviet Union, Islam. A report on women in Iran, how they suffer under their own religion, and an ABC News story on one woman's escape from a different kind of religious oppression, the polygamy practiced by some Mormons here in the United States. We're doing a sermon review of Robert Schuller's sermon yesterday, sermon titled, I Am the American Flag. We'll be right back. Issues, etc. Regular guest, Dr. Carl Fakencher, on good reasons to become a pastor.
Before I went to the seminary, I worked in business for a number of years, but I realized that the aspects of my jobs that I appreciated the most were the opportunities to be helpful and encouraging and supportive of the people who worked with me. It was quite clear to me that the way I could be most helpful to them was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And I realized that if I became a pastor, that would be what I'd do all the time. The help that I could bring would be the help that was not just for today or tomorrow, but eternal.
For more information on studying for the pastoral ministry, look for the logos of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, on our homepage, issuesetc.org, preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Terry Phillips, sitting in for Bob Dittmer. In one of the few votes on marriage likely to take place this congressional session, the House passed an amendment to an appropriations bill that blocks the District of Columbia from using federal funds for its domestic partner registration efforts, Kim Troby reports.
For the past 15 years, district funds have paid for health care benefits for government employees and their domestic partners. Under H.R. 2829, that would have changed, allowing federal monies to be used. President Bush said in a statement last week that he planned to veto the entire bill if something was not done. That's when Representative Virgil Goode of Virginia stepped up.
And I don't think the United States taxpayer wants to go down the road of supporting non-traditional marriage. Most states and the federal government recognize that marriage is between one man and one woman.
Goode was able to garner 40 votes from Democrats on the issue. Without that, Carrie Gordon Earle of Focus on the Family Action says we may have seen a different outcome.
This is encouraging that there are at least 40 Democrats who can look at this issue and say, yeah, we shouldn't be paying for federal benefits for unmarried couples and treating them like married couples.
Goode points to another important factor in the success of the amendment.
And the support of grassroots persons, I think, gave us enough momentum to get a positive vote with about a 25 cushion to pass it.
A traditional marriage advocate, Goode says the House should not use tax dollars to promote any other definition of marriage than between one man and one woman. For Family News in Focus, I'm Kim Troby.
Under the Health Care Benefits Expansion Act of 1992, the District of Columbia created a domestic partner registry. Since then, Congress has refused to support that registry with federal dollars. For Family News in Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling. With a showroom in the Mid-County Trade Center, 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox air conditioning and furnace systems and services all brands. Reliable also provides senior discounts. Reliable Heating and Cooling, serving you from North, Mid, and West County exchanges. The next time you call Reliable at 423-3535, please thank them for being an AM 850 KFUO underwriter.
Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana invites you to join Issues Etc. regular guest Arthur Just, Larry Rast, and Carl Schalk for the Good Shepherd Institute, November 4th through the 6th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. This annual conference equips laypeople, musicians, and pastors to better serve their congregations through music and the Word. For more information on the Good Shepherd Institute, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2256. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing a sermon review of Robert Schuller's sermon on Sunday during the Hour of Power broadcast, sermon titled, I Am the American Flag. We'll see how that unfolds. And we're asking this question of you. When you went to your service yesterday, it was a patriotic theme. What was the theme of the service there closest to Independence Day? 505-7850-1800-730-2727 or issuesetc at kfuo.org. Something I'm very excited about. We started our new fiscal year, and we've started it with a new underwriter added to one that's been with us for a number of years. You're used to hearing our underwriter, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They have been joined by Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. I'll tell you, when I graduated from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, so the apple has not fallen far from the tree, and they did not teach us to give Jesus the week off any Sunday. Christ and Him Crucified was supposed to be the center of every sermon for every sinner every Sunday. You can find out more about Concordia Seminary St. Louis or Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, Indiana by going to our homepage, issuesetc.org. You'll see links to them right there, issuesetc.org. By the way, some have inquired, and we did mention on our nationally syndicated Sunday night program weekend before last that Dr. Norman Nagel had suffered a stroke, and he's a regular guest on the program, and he was one of my favorite professors at Concordia Seminary. He, just an update, he suffered some partial paralysis on his left side. His mind is quite clear, and according to his wife, Betsy, Jeff talked with her earlier this afternoon, he's made significant progress in the past week, and they expect him to be up on his feet after about 3 weeks of very intensive rehab. Both Dr. Nagel and his wife and the family really appreciate your prayers and your concern. Just an update for our listeners who find Dr. Nagel one of their favorite guests here on Issues, Etc. Let's go to the phones and talk with Jane, who calls from her car. Hi, Jane. We'll get Jane back here in just a moment. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. So far we've heard from the flag. We've heard that the flag has earned the right to speak, and the flag has demanded, in speaking through Dr. Schuller here in this sermon, that we listen. He says he's earned the right because people gave their lives for the flag. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Here's Jane calling from her car. Hi, Jane.
Hi. We did hear a freedom sermon Sunday, but it was from Galatians, the true freedom that we have in Christ and Him crucified. We did, at the very last, sing the same song the other lady, that guy's wondering if that was our organist, about God Bless Our Native Land. But it was a wonderful, wonderful long gospel sermon.
All right, Jane, thank you very much. I'm asked the question, if you were in church yesterday, of course, a lot of churches were observing Independence Day in some form or another, and I want to know what the theme of the service was. What was the theme of overall? When you walked out, what theme would you say prevailed during that Sunday morning? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's get to some more of Dr. Robert Schuller's sermon, I Am the American Flag.
Yes, they still lie in Flanders Fields in France, in the Punch Bowl in Hawaii, in the outskirts of Manila, the Philippines, and in many other places under the sun as well as under the sea. I never forget them. I rise every morning. I rise and think of the finest men whose years were short, but whose service was longer than we can ever measure. Yes, I, the American flag, have lived long, traveled far, endured much. A million bodies have been broken to give me the right to speak. So now I break my long silence, and it's my turn to preach. Listen. I shall speak about my land, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, her tragedy and her triumph, her sins and her shames, and her glory. I shall speak about my world, for my heart weeps for all nations, all men and women and little children of every race, creed, and color. I, the American flag, now speak. I say first, be proud of your country. There's so much about her that is beautiful, compassionate, tender, powerful, yet gentle. Oh, I have listened to her children, and I see them every day, little ones and older ones, by the millions, pledge their allegiance to me in their schoolrooms. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yes, I've been stained, I've been spit upon, I have been burned, I have been torn, I have been defiled by detractors for 200 years. Still, I'm proud of the country that I fly over It's schools, it's courts of law, it's assembly halls where laws are passed. I'm proud of my country. The managers, the laborers, the firemen, policemen, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, all dedicated to preserving the dignity of our human beings. I, the American flag, speak. Listen. In spite of her sins, and there are many, in spite of her shame, and it's made conspicuous, America is not without a source of pride, even today.
Now, this is getting strange. First, the flag is preaching, and he's actually... I had a conversation with Robert Schuller a couple years ago when we were in Chicago. We recorded it. We were WYLO. We went there and recorded an interview with Dr. Schuller, and we played it. We played it, I think, several times here on the air on Issues, Etc. And I asked him about why he didn't use so much the word sin. And he said, well, you know, he didn't think sin was our problem. The problem isn't sin, it's shame. But he is willing to assign sins to America. He says, in spite of her sins, which are many, America is not without a source of pride even today. So at least on the 4th of July, he's willing to talk about sin. Now, there are a lot of Christians who hear this and say, ah, there we go. He just talked about our sin. This is starting to sound like Christian preaching. Although I would also point out to you that the Muslim is fond of pointing out the sins of America, too. That's far from Christian preaching. But I found it odd that he would mention the word sin in this sermon when, sermon after sermon, Dr. Schuller doesn't want to talk about sin. He wants to talk about shame. Look, I know what the appeal here is. I'm as patriotic an American as anybody else. I know exactly the appeal of watching the flag unfurled and seeing the summer morning light shining through the stars and stripes and the sound of the drum roll and the taps and the cymbals. It's there for effect, of course. The special effects are here for emotional effect. I understand the emotional impact something like this can have on you. Is this what you expect on the Sunday closest to the 4th of July? You know, think about it. Hell will be full of people, among others, who pledge their allegiance to the flag. Full of people who were good, hearty, red-blooded patriots, but did not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, or what he has done for them at the cross. People who could recite for you all of the battles of the American Revolution, the Civil War, and World War II combined, but had no idea of what Christ had done when he shed his blood at the cross. Hell will be full of people like this, which makes me wonder why Robert Schuller would blow out the message of Christ and him crucified, even on the 4th of July, and let the flag preach. DB is calling from his car. Hi, DB.
Hey, Todd. You know, I guess maybe it's because I'm a member of Generation X and I tend to be a bit pessimistic and have a kind of a dim outlook on life sometimes. But I listen to something like this and it just seems like so much ceremony where it's empty and void of any real meaning. You're right, it does bring tears to your eyes. It does strike a patriotic note in your heart. But then when you look at it, you really listen to what's being said, there's really nothing there. And he talks about America. I know it's poetic, but he talks about her in first person, and he talks about her sins. And I think that's the whole point, though, right, that the country, like any human institution, has sin and flaw and fallenness in it. But he's not pointing to Christ, who's perfect. If you point to Christ, there's the one with no sin. There's the one that can redeem and save you. There's the one who has the good news, the gospel, not the United States. It's just a human institution. It may be a fine one and have many noble qualities about it, but it does have its own national sin and fallenness, where Christ doesn't. He's only perfect, and he's the one that brings the good news.
Right. I mean, what good does it do us, thank you, DB, to hear a sermon where the virtues of America ultimately outweigh its sins? What is that? Well, America has its sin, but its virtues outweigh its sins. By the way, that's not what the Christian message is. The Christian message isn't, well, you have your sins individually, but your virtues outweigh your sins. That's works righteousness. That's not the Christian message. But this shows the, it really shows the essential character of American civil religion. Jeff asked before that I would define that. American civil religion is when the ceremonies, verbiage, and trappings of religion are used to benefit the state. The God of American civil religion is small g God, generic God, the kind of God that everyone can worship because he has no particular attributes, and he certainly doesn't have a son who he sent into the world to pay the price for human sins. Robert Shuler so far is preaching a God of American civil religion, the God that looks at America, sees her sins, but then says, you know, but her virtue outweighs her sins. And that's why he still smiles upon America, because it's American civil religion. Don in Junction City, Kansas is listening there. Hi, Don.
Oh, thank you, Todd. In a worship service, the pastor should always preach Christ and him crucified, both law and gospel. And the pastor I have does that faithfully every Sunday. And he is a graduate of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Oh, good.
So we are getting a number of outstanding pastors out of our two seminaries, and we should ever be thankful for that.
What was yesterday's service like at the church that you attend, Don? Was there patriotic overtones?
There was a prayer for the soldiers, and also there was a prayer for the nation and the president and the Congress. Basically, that was all, you know, like he usually does every Sunday.
All right. Thank you very much, Don. And thanks for listening in Kansas. You know, that's the second listener who's mentioned, well, we prayed for the president and the governor and our elected officials and those who serve us in the military. You know what? There's a very old prayer that some Christians still use called the prayer of the church. It has many different forms. Guess what? If you use it, you're praying for the president and the governor, your elected officials, and those who serve you in the military every single Sunday. Jen in Las Vegas writes via email, she says, I think the extent of our patriotic service yesterday was the pastor mentioned that Wednesday would be the 4th of July. I think. Actually, I don't remember whether it was before or after the service, she writes. He also mentioned that in our prayers, we prayed for military stationed overseas. She says, as to Dr. Shuler, well, I almost turned off the computer. His sermon is just annoying, she says. I'm patriotic, and my husband, Air Force, has been in Afghanistan. Brother in the Marines has been in Iraq, too. I read constitutional law books for fun, but not in the divine service. I'm going to go water the plants, and maybe I'll catch your words and miss this goofy speech about the flag. By the way, she says, we sang, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. I come, O Savior, to thy table and Lamb of God yesterday. Blessings in Christ, Jen in Las Vegas, having my military neighbors over Wednesday to celebrate the 4th together. Keeping first things first. Thank you very much, Jen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with the 4th of July. I'm as much about the flag, the celebrations, the barbecue, the rockets, red glare, and all those kind of things. I just wonder why the church brings it in on Sunday morning. I know why people want the church to bring in on Sunday morning. People want the church to bring in everything. Everything that the culture celebrates. Good and bad. Matt in Florida says, this isn't even a sermon. It's no wonder that people think Christians are nuts. He's anthropomorphizing an inanimate object, the flag, and doing it in a boring way at that. If he were to talk about something historical, he should talk about what people did in the name of the flag. It's not even a good speech, he says, on history or about patriotism, but rather it's about talking flags, and what we Christians should be willing to say is idolatry. pretty rough word. Isn't it basically idolatry to take the flag that the pastor is saying is talking to us, to his congregation, and put it in the place of the cross? Yes, that's idolatry. I think that's safe to say. You know, if the Muslims marched into our churches and put a flag with a Muslim symbol up front, say the flag of Iran, I think that's got a Muslim symbol on it, put it up front, people would be beside themselves, wouldn't they? They would count that as great a blasphemy as putting, as when the Romans marched into the temple and took and put the Roman insignia in the place of the Ark of the Covenant. They would. For some reason, they have no problem when we Christians in America do exactly the same thing with the American flag. No problem whatsoever. Or to drape the cross in the American flag. National symbols. They have their place. Do you want to know why the Muslims would do that? Because the Muslims don't recognize a difference between the state and the mosque. Christians do. That's not a Jeffersonian, that's not an American idea. The distinction between the right and the left-hand kingdoms is a biblical scriptural distinction. The difference between the two realms where God rules and to what end he rules both of those realms. The distinction between the church and the state. I don't blame the Muslims for getting it wrong because their theology is so mixed up that they can't tell the difference between the mosque and the state. But Christians should know better.
In light of this sermon, I'm thinking we should revisit an old Issues Etc. open line question. Does the American flag belong in the sanctuary?
Well, the question, of course, there, the devil's in the details. Where, if it belongs, where does it belong?
Maybe we'll do that tomorrow or Thursday. So
yeah, but no, let's
think
do,
about it.
Let's do that tomorrow because Wednesday we're not going to be here. Yeah, good idea. Good idea.
Am I coming over for barbecue?
No.
No?
No.
I thought you were having me over for barbecue and pork steaks.
The dome is closed.
Oh.
No, the compound, the gates closed. Tuesday evening, at sundown, the Wilkin gates close, and no one is allowed in. Our celebration is entirely in-house. It's a security thing, I think. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I don't socialize with people I work with, because then we would not be able to work together. It's true. Sandy calls from Alton. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick rundown on where our church, placed the gospel and the law and the gospel and the words of Christ, and of course, very prominently, preeminently. The message was from 1 Kings about when the Lord speaks to Elijah. I think one of the reoccurring questions were, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then he called Elisha. And then Galatians, the reading, Christ has set us free to walk by the Spirit, and then the Holy Gospel in Luke. What was special, my beloved grandson was baptized, and my handsome son-in-law, a proud Navy serviceman, wore his dress white. It was beautiful.
And so it was in celebration of the baptism that he was there in his dress whites.
Yes, it was. And also there was a recognition of those who served. But it was law and gospel, and God Save Our Native Land, that was sung along with some of the basic traditional, Christ With Us hymns. It was very good.
Sandy, thank you very much. Sandy's asking that question, or she's answering the question that I've asked. What was the theme of your service yesterday? If it was patriotic, what would you say when you walked out was the basic theme? Yeah, this is entirely appropriate for, in this case, a Navy seaman to, they wear their whites at occasions of great and grave importance. And a baptism, I can think of no greater occasion. It's kind of like when someone puts on their tuxedo. Or for that matter, just goes to church. Let's go back to the sermon titled, I Am the American Flag, preached by Dr. Robert Schuller Sr. yesterday during the Hour of Power.
Show me any other country that is stainless, shameless, spotless, or sinless, over whose people I can fly with greater honor. I'm proud to fly over my imperfect America, for I know of no other people who have been swifter to unselfishly borrow and spend billions of dollars to sail strange seas and soar through frightening skies to rescue beleaguered and besieged people with skin colors and facial features and languages and foreign religions that seemed really odd to the kid from Peoria, Illinois, and Sioux City, Iowa. But their hearts never noticed the differences, for the young GIs saw them only as oppressed, tortured, hurting human beings, crying for help. So our crew cut American soldiers with pluck, plowed on through the mud, leaving a trail of their own blood, as they liberated people they had never seen before and would never see again, and along the way they found time to deliver a baby from a primitive mother and pass out chewing gum to the kids. And with a peace, they simply, all they wanted was to go home and have apple pie that Mom could bake. So they never aimed to conquer territory, or to build a world empire, or to exploit the wealth and the riches of these countries.
Well, time's up. I think if he would have left out the drum rolls and the timpani and the other things, he might have got a little more of the sermon in. Of course, we were taking our time, too. I understand why he will probably get more checks rolling in this week for the Hour of Power than any other. And I understand why people will watch this episode more than any other. And I understand why his church, people will probably be patting him on the back and shaking his hand, walking out the door saying, that was the most inspiring, most important message I've ever heard, Dr. Schuller. And as I said, hell will be full of people who pledged the allegiance to the flag and who were great patriots, who gave their lives in service of the country. Yes, even people who've given their lives in service of the country, their blood does not redeem them from sin, death, and the devil. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, conspicuously absent from this 4th of July sermon, aptly titled, I Am the American Flag, words that Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, never uttered. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Words far more important than anything the flag might have to say to us on the Sunday closest to the 4th of July. The flag is a great symbol of many great people and great things. It's a marvelous symbol. Jesus isn't a symbol, he's a Savior. People don't need a symbol. They need a Savior from sin and death, and only Jesus is that Savior. And even Americans need him too. Even patriotic Americans. When we come back, it's Audio Open Lines, your thoughts, your comments, and your questions. Stay tuned.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You are listening to Issues, Etc.